Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the Sports Show. My name is Jim Parsons here with thesports.com, and as always with Norman Corrington. Norman, how are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no problem. We took ourselves a minute to get set up here. We're ready to go. We've got the audio working. Everything's ready, and there's lots of news to talk about. We're a week and a half-ish, maybe just 2 weeks away from the Royal Rumble. We've got Mercedes Moné not showing up for AEW. We've got Cody Rhodes news that he revealed on Monday Night Raw. And of course, front and center in all of this is the continued drama surrounding Vince McMahon, the WWE, changing bylaws, people leaving the company, talent being worried about what comes next, meetings left, right, and center. All of that is happening this week. So we're going to talk about a lot of that. This will be kind of a news rundown show. Where do you want to start? I'm going to let you pick.
Well, let's start with Cody, I guess. How about that?
Okay, cool. Yeah, Monday night, he revealed in what I think was part three of the video series that they've been showing on Monday Night Raw, with kind of showing his comeback and his story and the injury and rehashing all of that. He's sort of gearing us up and setting up the stage for his announcement this past Monday that he will be one of the 30 men entered into the Royal Rumble a week and a half from now, Saturday, not this, but next. Big news. So Cody Rhodes is in the Royal Rumble and probably is immediately now the favorite to win the thing. Do you agree with that? Is he probably the most likely winner of all of this, or do you think something else is coming here?
Yeah, I think a lot of us were sort of calling that the moment he had to step away to recover from his injury, right? I think the timeline matched up, the timeline that he'd gotten from recovery timeline that he'd gotten from the doctors, it kind of matched up with where the Royal Rumble was. And I think a lot of us were kind of predicting that, yeah, he'll probably come back. You know, the rate that he was being pushed at prior to being injured, it, you know, seemed kind of inevitable that he was going to, I mean, he probably would have ended up winning it anyway, regardless of getting injured or not. Yeah, I think he is one of the favorites, you know. But you never know what could happen now that, you know, and we'll talk about this later, but there's some, you know, some stuff going on behind the scenes, and you never know what could happen. That it sort of seems like, you know, the creative department may once again be at the whims of a geriatric madman. So,
Let's hope they're not going there. There's talk and concern, I suppose, of that. Okay, let me ask you this: when it comes to Cody Rhodes, is there a way to write this? You know, the whole Cinderella story in professional wrestling, right? Shawn Michaels had it, Daniel Bryan had it. Now Bryan Danielson, all of these people, they go through these trials and tribulations, typically winning the Royal Rumble and then moving on to WrestleMania to be in the main event and win the world title. Now, this is a little different. It does certainly tell the dream story of Cody Rhodes coming back from an injury, getting in the Rumble, winning the Rumble, moving on to WrestleMania, being in the main event of WrestleMania. The whole question about the title, though, is a whole other thing because Roman Reigns has both of them. And we don't know if Cody Rhodes is even going to be in the top three when it comes to consideration as opponents for Roman Reigns. We've got The Rock probably first. We've got, you know, I don't think John Cena, but you never know. There's other people that could potentially be in the mix here. Is Cody Rhodes the shoe-in? Like, would you remove one of these titles from Roman Reigns or try to figure out how to do that? Would you just shove Cody Rhodes in there and call that your main event of WrestleMania? Like, what would you do here? How do you get around the whole nobody can take these titles off of Roman Reigns?
Well, in Cody, they have, and we saw, I think, you know, if you're someone who watched Cody's work in AEW, it was quite amazing to watch him just appear in WWE and suddenly be this babyface that he, I think, wanted to be in AEW. And it, for whatever reason, there's a multitude of reasons, and I think we've probably talked about them before, but the Cody stuff that didn't work on AEW and kind of had the crowd turning on him, but prior to him departing AEW, really, really clicked with WWE. There was also the change of scenery truly, like, revitalized him. They presented him as a really, really big deal. That WrestleMania entrance was huge, you know. Then he got the win after a great match, then had a run of great matches with Seth Rollins, who is, you know, WWE's measuring stick. And so they've got this natural white meat baby face, and who I think this was Cody's destiny for a long time, right? I think he's always wanted to be this throwback top of the card baby face in a way, in sort of, you know, a combination of Dusty and, you know, a couple of other legendary WWE champions. Obviously, Dusty wasn't champion, but you know what I mean. I can see it happening. I think you could. I don't think there's a lot of heavy lifting to be done in terms of booking, because I think it writes itself, and I think Cody is doing like a lot, has like put in enough work. They've done a good job kind of reminding everyone of his existence and letting you know that, I mean, even just by announcing that he's going to be in the Rumble, I think was very interesting, because they could have easily just had Cody disappear, go get surgery, not mention him on TV, and then have him come back as a surprise at the Rumble, you know, like John Cena in the Garden or something like that. But yeah, I mean, definitely I could see Cody winning one or both of those titles at WrestleMania, especially, I think, if you're looking long-term, you want someone that you can trust to carry the company and perform multiple times a week on, you know, house shows and TV shows. And I think Cody is that guy more than The Rock, more than John Cena, more than even I think Roman Reigns. You know, I think Roman Reigns probably wants a vacation, deserves one for sure. And yeah, I certainly think Cody is the guy, and I just really hope they don't drop the ball.
Yeah, for me, if The Rock is able to go, I get the story, I get the draw, I understand his value, and you've got who's the head of the table. That's the storyline, right? Who's really the head of the table here? With Cody, you've got a legitimate argument that his legacy and family is as important as the bloodline is, and they are making a very, very big deal, especially this coming Monday for the Raw 30th anniversary show, which, by the way, is named Raw Triple X, which is... opens up all sorts of questions as to why they would do that.
But, Judara, baby.
Yeah, there you go. I think you can have Cody stand in the middle of the ring with Roman Reigns and have them argue over their family legacy and who wants this more, right?
Yeah, like, definitely.
I could see that, absolutely. Yeah. So if The Rock can't go, I would go with Cody Rhodes all day long. And I almost would be at the point where I would say to The Rock, look, I need to know what you're doing here by the Royal Rumble. You know, like, if you're in, cool, we're running with you. If you're not, we need to know now so we could push Cody Rhodes and have him be the main event. Because what I wouldn't do is have Roman Reigns, which is there's some talk about this, wrestling twice. I wouldn't put him on night one, and I wouldn't put him on night two, and try to run two storylines at the same time.
Right.
We talked about this in past episodes. I just wouldn't do that. Like, I don't, yeah. I think it's too much. It's you're wasting and you're mm-hmm. not getting the meat out of each one of those narratives. I think you mm-hmm. just need to go with one and mm-hmm. figure out which one it is you're going with. And Cody makes a lot of sense to me. I really like it. And the whole story of, you know, as predictable as it would be, if you did it this way, having mm-hmm. him come into the Rumble, win the Rumble, go to main event WrestleMania and win, everybody sees it coming. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know yeah. what I mean? Doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, it's the story.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I don't think they should have Roman wrestle both nights. I think a smart thing to do would be to have a big title match on the Sunday. Actually, I don't really know. I guess it doesn't really matter. But one of those nights, the main event should be sort of a fun marquee match in the vein of the Kevin Owens Stone Cold match, you know, right. Something like that. I think they have some options there. Why not have like a tag team championship match on as a main event on one night? You know, I think having WrestleMania on two nights, you've got a lot of options and a lot of room for experimentation that I think they'd be silly not to capitalize on that. Yeah, I think two. I also don't think they should split those titles up now. I think I'm sure they will, especially if, you know, Vince McMahon is going to start you know, bossing everyone around again. You know, I think they probably will end up splitting those titles again, but I don't think they should. I think they should just keep them as one. I think having two titles, I've never been a fan of the two title thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an issue if you only have one belt. Like, I don't necessarily believe that you need to have one for Raw and one for SmackDown. I like what it has done for the United States Championship, which, you know, you talk about another main event on that. If you have Cena in theory as a main event or a match, that could be a main event. Like, that absolutely, if Cena's a go, could be one for me. Austin's been working out like crazy. There's talk that he might come back again for WrestleMania. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's in LA. There's just so many things that WWE could pull together here that you could have it. I'm with you. I don't know that you necessarily need a title for each brand, but you do need a heavyweight champion who is around, right?
Yeah,
Roman Reigns, in his defense, is around enough. He's not around Brock Lesnar around. He's not around Undertaker around. But he is running up, but he's going more and more into not being there every other week. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want somebody to hold that title who will represent WWE on a regular basis. And whether it's Vince McMahon, which is where we'll go next, or Triple H, I think both people agree that Cody Rhodes, this is his time, right?
Yeah.
And Vince liked Cody, and Vince brought Cody in from AEW, whether it was because he wanted to say he scooped somebody from AEW or because he believes Cody Rhodes, this is his time. I don't know. But I think both people, depending on who's calling the shots here, would be behind this. Now, talking about Vince McMahon, the news seems to change every day, right? We've got Vince McMahon working his way back onto the board, executives leaving. He's coming with two of his people. And now he's rewriting bylaws, apparently, so that he has full and total say over everything that he does. Now, on the surface, that's the media rights negotiations. That's the possible sale of WWE. But it's also potentially hiring and firing, creative control, everything else that he might want to just say, you know what, I'm going to do this. And he kind of already could because he had the 81% voting stock. But it's now like official in the bylaws, which he's being sued over. We talked about that in the past. I don't think that's going to change anything. But what do you think it means that all these slight, subtle, maybe not so subtle changes are happening almost on a daily basis here?
Mm-hmm.
People are leaving. Vince is rewriting rules. It seems like he wants to maybe put himself on TV is some of the talk we're hearing. Like, it's all over the map here.
Yeah.
It's just more and more that Vince McMahon's coming in and we're going to see Vince McMahon running things eventually again.
Right. It feels like a, you know, it feels like the way a, you know, a dictator slowly starts to seize power and become turn a democratic nation into sort of a totalitarian regime. Mm-hmm. I think Vince probably idolizes Napoleon and is maybe trying to copy some of that.
A little bigger.
Some of those vibes. Yeah. Yeah, just kind of, you know, I mean, look, at the end of the day, he's the controlling, he has the majority of the shares. It is still it's a publicly traded company, but he still has all, you know, he has all the cards, basically. So whatever he wants to do, he can do it. And I don't think there's a lot that can be done to stop him from doing that. I don't think it's, you know, smart for him, and I don't think it's very good for WWE ultimately. I think it's pretty obvious where this is heading, right? I think he'll probably be back on TV soon in some capacity. I don't think he's going to be on there regularly, but I would be very surprised if he doesn't appear on TV. I don't think he thinks that he's done anything wrong. I think he's going to use the company as a way to kind of garner support for, you know, just whatever. I think he just missed. I think that time on the sidelines drove him crazy, because he's a madman who's addicted to, he doesn't need, he's, you know, he's almost, how old is he? Almost 80. He's got more money than anyone could ever need in their entire lifetime. And the fact that he still wants to show up and work 12 hours a day on the road constantly is, you know, I think just, signals to me that what everyone already knows, which is that he's just an absolute maniac. And I think probably felt slighted and embarrassed by how things went down, and is trying to save face. And is, you know, kind of, I'm sure there's some, they're not going to take my company, they can pry it from my cold dead hands energy going on too. I don't think it's necessarily good. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping that he does kind of do all this stuff and then ultimately just takes a step back and is like, you know, just kind of peacocking or whatever. But, you know, we'll see, won't we?
Yeah, it's ironic you use the words peacocking.
There we go.
WWE Network on Peacock. Yeah, it's interesting. I get the sense, like, a lot of people are like, oh, he's doing this just because he wants to sell and make all the money, or no money or whatever. I really believe that he probably doesn't know what to do with himself. You know, like, he's worked so many hours for so many years, and just like insane hours from what people have talked about in knowing Vince McMahon, and that he takes calls at 4 a.m. and then he gets up at 5 a.m. to work out, like, that he probably is going stir crazy, and he just needs to be involved in some way, shape, or form. And you're probably right. There's probably a huge element of, like, if I can't have it, nobody can, kind of thing going on here. I just can't imagine. I would hope that he does believe that in his own mind, he is doing what is best for WWE in terms of trying to get the best deal on television, trying to sell it for the most amount of money if he does choose to do that. Like, I think he probably has that, you know, unabashed confidence in himself.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To pull this off. I don't think he's trying to necessarily screw anybody, but I do think he wants to have all the power and all the say and that kind of stuff. It's pretty crazy, like, how quickly all of this has come together and how fast things have changed. Like, Triple H has not even had the company control 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's really not even had an opportunity to sort of find his, I don't know if you want to say second wind, but really get into a rhythm and find his groove, right? He's done some really good things. He's missed on a couple others, but you know, he just hasn't had an opportunity to really sink his teeth into it. And it would be a shame if he never got that chance.
Yeah.
Like, if we never really got to see what the full true WWE looks like under Triple H, a good year in, a new WrestleMania build card, all that stuff. Like, it would be a real shame if we never ever got to see that.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. Yeah. I mean, he never really got, he had some time. I don't think it was enough time to, I mean, look, he was also trying to sort of undo a lot of he was trying to undo decades of mostly bad booking, right? And probably trying to do that in a way that didn't make it look like he was disrespecting his father-in-law. So I think it, had he been given a couple of years, I think we would have maybe started to see some more obvious and apparent creative changes, which I think ultimately if you just kind of look at it on the surface, I don't think you can point to that many things that he did differently. But yeah, like we say, he didn't really have that much time to get the wheels in motion. I think, yeah, he did elevate the mid-card titles a little bit better. And obviously he brought back some of his NXT darlings, I think most of whom have been pretty underwhelming. But yeah, I don't know. It's a shame. So hopefully we're a little bit off base. But yeah, my instinct, and not just mine, but I think a lot of people can see the writing on the wall in terms of what Vince is doing.
Yeah, it's hard not to. Like, when it changes this often and there's always something new, almost every day, like literally almost every day, there's a new piece of information that Vince McMahon has done something or said something or someone has left. Like, the two VPs of communication both left WWE today, right, as we record this. Like, there's always something. There's a big piece of news coming out of WWE when it comes to Vince McMahon. And it's just, like, if you look at this in a week from now, who knows what we're talking about? Right. Like, that's the crazy thing about all this. It's just so nutty. I have to ask you, I don't know if I asked you on the last show, but we talked since then. Did you end up getting a Dynamite?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was great. Good stuff. Yeah. Good show. I don't know how it looked on TV, but it was a lot of fun. I think there was, it wasn't a perfect show. It wasn't like the best Dynamite show, but it was certainly very enjoyable. And then obviously Rampage was pretty crazy too. And last week at the time of recording,
yeah, the best of seven final,
right? So it would have been the January 11th edition, yes, of Dynamite, yeah, yeah, as we record this on Tuesday the 17th. Yeah, and then there was, you know, I think it sagged a little bit in the middle with the kind of, with the Jericho promo, the JAS promo.
Oh, that was god awful.
Yeah, and the Ricky Starks and Andretti thing, which honestly didn't do either of those guys any favors, which is really a shame, because I think both of them, you know, Andretti's coming off of a huge 1-2-3 kid style victory over Jericho, and then Ricky Starks, they are trying to build him, I really I'm a big fan of Ricky Starks. Like, I think he's great. I think he is good on the mic, but I think they give him the mic. You know, when someone can be like good on the mic, but if you just constantly have them on the mic, then they're not always going to be good on the mic, right? Because you're giving them more opportunities to mess up.
Yeah.
And that promo, I don't think was super, that wasn't Starks' best work by any stretch. His promo of MJF a couple of weeks prior to that was absolutely brilliant. But yeah, this JAS Starks thing was a little bit, yeah, a bit saggy, and yeah, not very good.
Yeah, that's the major downfall from the show, as I've been reading and my perception of watching it on television. That seems to be the heaviest critique from that episode. Mm-hmm. The other one was that Mercedes Moné did not show up. A lot of people built themselves up and convinced themselves that she was going to be there, even though AEW did say Toni Storm was Shirai's partner the week prior, and they did not swerve anybody with that. Now there's a whole Sheeta storyline thing that is somewhat of a swerve in the making here, but that is the other major letdown. Besides that, it sounds like the show was really quite good. I mean, the in-ring action was unreal.
Yeah.
The big consensus, and you mentioned it last week, was that the best of seven final would have been better received had we not seen this six times before. But was very, very good. Bryan Danielson match was incredible. Mm-hmm. The opening bout between Hangman Page and Moxley, with Page picking up the win here, was good. Very physical. What was the story with the Moxley thing? Do you get a sense of what happened there with that? Like, is that a work shoot sort
of?
Yeah,
that's
like what is going on there?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a work. I think they're just going for like a concussion. It's kind of shaky ground there. I wasn't
real fond of that.
No, like I think it's a bit.
I thought it was in poor taste, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I guess it's because Mox, it was Mox who, you know, I don't want to say caused Hangman's concussion, but it happened during a match with Mox. So yeah, I guess they're trying to do some sort of like one for you, one for me angle. We'll see where it goes, but yeah, I don't really like the worked concussion angles myself. But
well, and not only that, but he was in the ring almost like he was having a seizure, and it was a very strange decision, you know, to kind of go that way and fake that sort of thing, if that's what's going on here. Like they were talking about maybe they broke his nose on TV. Like there was all sorts of stuff. I watched it back a couple times. It didn't sound like or look like he got hit in the nose. It just looked like he took a heavy clothesline and then he was doing that whole thing. I just wasn't sure why they would do that. I know they're probably writing him off TV. He needs a break for a little bit. But I thought that was an interesting choice.
Yeah, the match was brilliant though. And I think Hangman is getting back in his stride. I mean, obviously the concussion didn't help, but I mean, even before that, I think he'd lost a little bit of momentum. I was starting to find his promo. I love Hangman Page and I love his promos in general, but I think prior to him, taking some time off, I was starting to get a little bit bored of his promos. And then, yeah. And I think now he's back in the saddle as it were. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does next.
All right, so let's talk, before we wind things up here, let's talk a few little news items. I have to get your take on some of these things. What do you make of the Sheamus and Drew McIntyre tag team, the Banger Bros, which, of course, is the goofiest name, and WWE well knows that it's a goofy name and sort of sounds dirty. Mm-hmm. I get the alignment of Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. My preference would be to just put Drew McIntyre in the Brawling Brutes and have it be a group of four and a faction instead of a tag team, because now what do you do with Butch and Rich Holland? Like, are they just sort of left to the side and forgotten about? Like, I don't love that. I do like the pairing of Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. It makes a lot of sense. But what do you think of the whole thing there?
Yeah, I mean, the name thing is interesting. I think it's could end up being one of those things where it just sounds stupid and we hate it, but then eventually it will grow on us. I remember not liking the bar when I first heard it. Obviously, that wasn't quite as the Banger Bros. But I do like the pairing. Obviously, they have a lot of history. You are right about the Brawling Brutes situation. I think having a team that's, two English guys, a Scottish guy and an Irish guy is pretty fun. Might have to throw in a Welsh guy and a Northern Irish guy at some point. The name is silly, but I'm sure it will grow on us if it lasts that long. They have had a lot of bangers, so
I get what they're doing, and if they could play off of it and make it work, it could work. It could be something very interesting that fans really get behind. All right, next one up, Mandy Rose. She's gone on national television, talked about how she felt being released by WWE. There is news that she has not spoken with Triple H since then, but she has also commented that she would remove the questionable content off of her third-party fan time site if WWE would consider hiring her back. She did not say that she would remove her third-party Fantime account, because why would you do that when you're making over $1 million in a month? Mm-hmm. What do you make of her comment? Now, this also comes on the heels, by the way, that Lana had said that she would get rid of all of her third-party revenue streams if WWE would consider bringing her back. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting two women looking at very different takes on this. One says, well, I'll get rid of the stuff you don't like. And by the way, she mentioned and admitted that this was not the first time WWE had told her to remove some stuff. The other two or whatever time she did. And this time, I guess she just didn't ask and put something up there that got her in trouble. Mm. But she says she's willing to come back as long as that's all she's asked to do is remove the questionable content. Lana wants to come back and she would get rid of her third party stuff. I'm assuming she's making better money than she would ever make at WWE. Mm. What are your thoughts on those two?
The Mandy Rose situation is interesting because it sounds like there was very little in the way of communication there. So I don't know, maybe there was something else going on. Maybe they were just looking to cut some corners and they had an excuse to let her go or something like that. I will say, she went back to NXT. She's been with she was with the company for a long time, and I think that she has some merit, but I've never really been a fan of her ring work, and I don't think she really improved that much over the last few years. And I think ultimately sending her to NXT, I think people are big fans of Toxic Attraction, but I think that having Mandy as the sort of top card female wrestler down in NXT was kind of a waste of it, honestly. I think there was it's kind of supposed to be the developmental system where they, and I think they were a younger, more exciting potential rookies that should have been in that spot instead, honestly. If WWE has its own rules and they say to her, you can come back if you get rid of this, and she wants to do that, then I guess it's good that she's not feeling any sort of resentment there,
Mm-hmm.
Then the Lana situation, I think if they were interested in having her back, she probably would be. It's interesting that she hasn't shown up in AEW yet, where her husband is currently employed.
That's a whole other story too.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I think Lana's an entertaining sort of valet manager mouthpiece on screen thing. I don't think she really needs to wrestle, but if she goes to WWE, I don't know what she would do,
Okay, so my final question for you is on Raw, the 30th anniversary show. There is a number of legends that have now been confirmed for this show: Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Teddy Long, Jerry Lawler, Ric Flair, The Bellas. Lots of names going to show up for this thing. Do you assume that this is all going to be a very gimmicky, kind of not so funny at times show where everything happens backstage? Or do you expect that somebody, a returning legend of some kind, might actually, stick around, could be in the Royal Rumble? What do you expect from this show next week? Which, by the way, WWE barely built up and promoted until this past Monday on Raw.
Yeah, I'm expecting a goofy show, kind of. We've seen it before when they do these sort of celebratory shows, right? So, I'm expecting something silly and kind of goofy, and maybe a few actual meaningful narrative developments, but I just hope they don't do the thing where they have these legends bury the young up and coming dudes or whatever. I know a lot there's like, it's a rite of passage to get slapped by Ric Flair or whatever, get a leg drop from Hogan if he can even do those anymore. I'm sure it'll be fun. Nothing's funny for 3 hours, is it? Let's be real.
Yeah. So, everybody sitting around a Baron Corbin poker game, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting. The one thing, if I'm going to make a not so bold or potentially bold out of the box prediction, I think X-Pac does something. I think X-Pac's in the Rumble.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
I think he wants to be. I think he's in good enough shape. He might be the only one coming back who could pull it off. He's a buddy of Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
I mean, he was working to, well, he did return to the ring. He and had a couple of GCW matches with, and was just beginning that feud with Janela. That was actually like kind of exciting and started off quite well. And then he got injured, sadly. So yeah, I mean, the timing seems to be working. If that does, I could see that. It makes sense.
Other than that, I don't know who would do what. I can't even imagine, unless there's some names that are going to show up that have not been promoted. Like Tatanka went on social media and said he was invited, but he's not coming because he's got something with his son going on at the same time. So there are other legends who have been invited to this thing who I'm assuming will show up that we won't hear about. We know that
I'm sure Rikishi and some of the Wild Samoans and all them are going to be there too, right? The Bloodline.
That's what we've heard. Yeah. Roman Reigns apparently said the entire Bloodline will be there. So
mm-hmm.
Does that tease something about The Rock? I don't know. I don't expect it to. But that's the connection people will probably make if there's a promotion. But if that were the case, you would think WWE would have pushed that way more than they have. They really haven't promoted the show at all. So it's an interesting choice not to let people know about it. Anyway, Norman, thank you. We're going to cover our next show will be all about the Royal Rumble and our prediction show and getting into that and what's going to happen. We'll run through the card and talk about everything else. For everybody else, check out thesportster.com. All the news and rumors reports are on there. Our articles, our features about what's going on in professional wrestling is all on thesportster.com. Norman, thank you. For everybody else, have a fantastic one, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.